Hello, and Happy New Year! Welcome to Nick and Roy's Bloopers and Best of 2021. Today, we look back at 2021, a year that was chock full of totally useless information. And because we're talking about Nick and Roy here, bloopers, of course. We will also count down the top 10 news items from your favorite feature on the show, news from around the world. Let's start our look back at a news item that received an honorable mention in the Totally Useless Information News Awards. We call this one the Big Enchilada.
In August of 2017, a kitchen worker at a Texas juvenile detention center noticed a strange delivery, 375 kilograms of beef fajitas. It's an item that they never served at the detention center. Turns out that since at least 2008, so for about 9 years, the prison's food services administrator had been ordering fajitas for the center. But instead of them going to the kitchen, he sold them to a nearby restaurant owner and pocketed the profits. 6 days.
How many years?
9 years he did this. 326 kilograms or 826 pounds of beef. That's where the beef is, all right? 6 days after the delivery that Gilberto Escamilla failed to intercept, he was arrested.
Well, it's a good thing, and now we know why he ordered fajitas.
Why?
What was his name?
Gilberto Escamilla.
Yeah. He ordered the fajitas. Did he get any tacos with that, too? Or
he was arrested.
Oh. Okay. He's married to a woman. Her name is Enchilada.
He was arrested swiftly, ending a decade-long $1.2 million crime. Okay? Escamilla pled guilty to the theft by a public servant who was sentenced to 50 years in jail.
And one of the people that were brought up at the trial was this very old lady. They walked her up to the stand, and the judge said, "What are you doing here?" And she said, "Where's the beef?"
What was Gilberto Escamilla's wife's name again? Anne?
Enchilada. Enchilada. And they have a lovely young man, a son named Guac. Guacamole.
So there you go. So for almost a decade, he stole $1.2 million worth of beef. That case has been all wrapped up.
Wow. And they have, and you know, he has a brother whose name is Jimmy Changa.
All I know is now I'm in the mood for Taco Bell.
There are 18 topics that Nick and Roy cover on the show. But of course, the most interesting, titillating topic is sex. Don't worry. Nick and Roy are always careful when they talk about sex.
What's your major? In 2014, UC Berkeley survey found that arts and humanity majors have the most sex.
Arts and humanities.
If you major in arts...
Is that even a course? Arts?
Well, it is a course. Apparently, it's an intercourse with them. But arts and humanities majors... arts and humanities majors have more sex, while science and engineering majors had the least sex. Surprise.
Of course they did, because they have pocket protectors.
Yeah. And then also, the Band-Aids on their glasses gets in the way.
And by the way, of course they do.
Here's further to that study. In 2014 at Berkeley, over half of the engineering major respondents were virgins.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. In college, I was a male model for the arts, for them to draw naked male models.
Yeah.
You wonder how this whole thing starts out, right?
That's right, yeah. It's all about perspective.
Nick and Roy talk about some of the very fascinating inventions that make our lives better.
Let me introduce you to Blow-Z. It's a handy tool for blowing out birthday candles without spreading germs all over the cake. The Blow-Z is essentially a hollow plastic tube with a fan at one end. When you blow into it, a sensor detects the airflow and activates the fan for a comparable burst of air. Meanwhile, the germ-laden... the germs go around the tube and gets thrown back towards you, so you infect yourself. The only thing your potential germs come to contact with is yourself. The Blowsy.
Oh, the Blowsy. I thought I purchased one of those in one of those sex shops. It was called the Blowsy.
It was the name of your... Never mind.
I don't know. I think that was a vacuum cleaner. I'm not really sure.
It was the name of your sex doll.
Blowsy. Betty Blowsy.
It's no Hazel. It's Blowsy.
Oh, my God.
You're listening to Nick and Roy's Bloopers and Best of 2021. Certainly, one of the most talked about segments is the last one on every show, News from Around the World. Let's start our countdown of the top 10 headlines from that segment. Number 10 is Cozy Duck's Nest.
In 2019, 33-year-old Betsy Ross, no, not that Betsy Ross, but she was at a park in California with her family when they found a duck's nest. All of the eggs, sadly, were smashed except one, which Ross's children begged her to save. She popped it into her sports bra to keep it safe. After some research, she decided her best option, or her breast option, was to leave the egg pressed against her body. Boy, wouldn't you want to be an egg right now? She nestled it for more than 30 days, placing baggies of warm water under her chest to raise the incubation temperature, among other things. Eventually, the duck began to peep, and after a difficult hatching, it survived. The bird bonded with Ross, so she fashioned a carrier for it out of a headband. What did they name the duckling? Chester.
Chester.
Here's number 9. Bear bites babe's butt.
An outhouse is probably a good place to be if you're going to have the crap scared out of you. Shannon Stevens visited her commode in Chilcot Lake, Alaska. Turned out to be a heart-stopping...
Let's stop for one second.
Yes.
Chilcot. Oh, I'm sorry.
Chilcot Lake, Alaska.
I think the listeners are going to think it sounded like
Chilcot. I'm going to apologize if I wasn't enunciating.
Because I was breaking out the thermals just thinking about it. But go ahead.
It was a heart-stopping experience at the outhouse, probably a little bit painful. The moment when she came butt to face with a curious bear.
What? She was in the outhouse?
She says, I just sat down and the thing bit me right away. I jumped up, screamed, and screamed for my brother. Eric Stevens came running over from his yurt on his property when he heard...
Yurt?
It's one of those, like a little tent. It's like a little outdoor tent, okay? When he heard his sister scream, he ran towards the outhouse and found his sister with a puncture wound on her butt. She was still standing there with her pants down, he said.
Wait a minute. The bear was in the hole?
Yes.
He bit her and got out?
Well, hold on. Let me read the story. Let me read you the news.
I'm still in the yurt.
She got hurt in the yurt. She was still standing there with her pants down, her brother said. What bit you? Where is it? And boy, do you look hot. No. And she said...
That's strange, but yeah. Go ahead.
Dear penthouse. No. She said the bear is in the hole. Her brother...
Jesus. It gets worse.
Her brother shined the headlamp and opened the lid.
Was like, well, bend over.
There you go.
So I can see him.
No, go ahead. Not that hole. And right there...
Okay, he's still in the hole, the bear.
So he took the lamp and he shone it on the hole. And right there at the level of the toilet seat was a cinnamon-colored bear face.
Cinnamon. Why? He was probably white before he went into the hole. He was only cinnamon because he was in a poop hole. My God. The guy actually gave a color. Back in the girt.
So here he was. His face, it was big enough to fill the hole, according to the brother. The siblings bolted from the outhouse in fear, returning to the yurt to treat Shannon's wounds.
Yeah, because you know when a bear's around, you always want to have at least 1 inch of gauze to protect you. 1 inch of canvas.
Yes. You know?
That's really a lot of protection against a bear filled with poop.
It was a cinnamon-colored bear face. A wildlife biologist, Carl Kosh, with the Alaskan Department of Fish and Game, who investigated the incident, believes Stevens encountered a black bear but isn't sure if she was bitten or simply swiped with a paw. But Koss said that he's never heard of
such... Might have given her a good spanking.
Ooh, spank me again.
He's smoky. He's like, don't do forest fires. And hey, baby. Back that up.
She's got a boo-boo on her butt. The experience has changed the way Shannon will approach her outhouse. If nothing else, she says, I mean, I'm definitely going to look down in the hole next time.
Yeah, she's going to have some bowel problems from the future on. I mean, really. I've heard of snakes coming up.
Yeah.
Rats in the toilet. But a cinnamon-colored bear.
You know why? Cinnamon-colored bear. He was looking for cinnamon buns.
Too bad it was his sister.
No.
And not just some strange girl.
Yeah. Again, dear penthouse.
That would have been interesting.
Our motto on the show is listen, laugh, and learn. Sometimes you learn stuff you thought you never needed to know.
Get ready. I'm about to blow your mind. Okay? Just like the blow
like
Betty.
Like
Betty Blosey, yes.
Betty Blosey.
Now, I know you're wearing headphones. All of you in the audience, we're going to do this all at the same time. I want you to take your finger and put it in your ear and scratch it.
Yeah.
Listen to that sound. Try it.
Yeah, I'm okay. Doing it. Yeah.
It sounds like this. The Pac-Man Waka Waka sound.
Oh, wow.
So if you take your finger and you scratch the inside of your ear, it sounds just like the Waka Waka sound as the little man.
Oh, no, Betty. No, no, Betty. He said ear.
Science has always been an important part of our lives. In this Best of Highlight, Nick and Roy talk about the slippery dick. Now, get your minds out of the gutter.
Einstein was a moron. Newton was a jerk. A equals nothing. It's science.
The slippery dick.
What?
The slippery dick is a fish with a curious name. And it got its name from the ability to escape from nets and pounds.
Now, wait a second.
Yes.
Hold on.
Yes.
You're going to talk about the slippery dick.
Yes. That's the name of the fish.
Have you tried to hold the slippery dick?
Well, the reason why it has its name, because its ability to escape from nets, all right, from the hand, and by aid of its quickness in moving in its slippery surface.
They couldn't name it something else?
No.
Like Slippery Harry or the Slippery Joe. They had to name it the Slippery Dick.
The Slippery Johnson. It can be found from North Carolina to Bermuda and even Brazil and even the Gulf of Mexico.
Wait a minute. So if you go down to Brazil, you can give the Slippery Dick to somebody?
Exactly. Now, people who live in Bermuda...
Hey, if I'm swimming in the Gulf of Mexico, which is right outside my door...
That's right.
You mean to tell me I'm swimming with the slippery dick?
That's correct. Absolutely. I'll race you. Now, the people who live on the Bermuda Islands do not eat this fish because they have superstitions. And they believe that if they eat the slippery dick, they will lose.
Say it again. Say that one more time.
If the inhabitants of the Bermuda Islands do not eat this fish because they are superstitious. And they believe that if they eat the slippery dick, they will lose all of their hair. So you're thinking, I'm follically challenged.
So,
how many slippery...
So I'm looking at you. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Nick, and I'm thinking you're eating a load of slippery dick.
Of course I'm follically challenged.
Does your wife know that you're eating the slippery dick?
If you go to nickandroy.com, I'm interrupting you intentionally. If you go to nickandroy.com, you click on the page and you'll see our picture, okay? Which is a damn great picture, if you ask me, of Roy and I, friends for over 40 years, you'll see that I am follically challenged. And it has nothing to do with the fact that I eat slippery fish, Dick.
Speaking of the slippery dick, when you crack a whip.
What a great segue.
The word crack a whip. Yeah, the word crack a whip insinuates the noise. Whoosh, and that sound is the tip of the whip. The tip of the whip is moving and traveling faster than the speed of sound. And just like a jet plane that travels faster than the speed of sound, it makes a sonic boom. Well, the crack of the whip is the little microsonic boom that the tip of the whip is making. So next time you hear whoosh, that is actually a sonic boom.
Excellent sound effect, by the way. I thought for that you actually had a whip, that you were cracking that whip. It sounds really, really authentic.
Nick and Roy are truly podcast professionals. Listen to how accurately they pronounce things.
All right, we all know what shrapnel is, right? You know, people usually, when they get blown up, is because they get hit with shrapnel.
Shrapnel?
Shrapnel. Yeah, I'm real sharp.
Until we hear, speak, until we get marbles out of our mouth.
Francesca from Columbus, Ohio writes, Dick.
She writes, you dick. I like dick.
Nick and Roy will be back next week with fresh and brand new episodes of Totally Useless Information. To access the full library of episodes and to send an email, go to nickandroy.com. That's nickandroy.com. We continue our countdown of the top 10 news headlines from the segment News from Around the World. Number 8 is Amish DUI.
Today's news item comes to us from the Trumbull County Sheriff's Department in Ohio. They came across two Amish men operating a horse and buggy while drinking a 12-pack of Michelob Ultra.
Really?
And blasting music from a stereo on a routine traffic stop.
Wow. So that would be a D-U-H-B-R.
D-U-H-B-R, what is that?
It would be driving while horseback riding.
Yeah, maybe you should take a breathalyzer test. Deputy Eric Hermsdorfer.
He's like, leave me alone. I got to go home and make some fireplaces.
That's right. And furniture. He encountered the sight when, according to WKBN News, signaled that the two men of faith pulled over before 1 o'clock in the morning. So these derelicts were out not only drinking and blasting music, but 1 o'clock in the morning.
Now, what was the horse doing out at that time?
When Deputy Hermsdorfer requested they stop their buggy.
What was his name? Hermsdorfer?
Eric Hermsdorfer. The unidentified men leapt off and ran into the woods.
And left the horse.
That's right. And above mentioned.
And the residue of the Michelob.
That's right. And the horse, by the way, speaking of the horse, continued to trot down the road until the police stopped it.
No, there you go. Runaway horse.
That's right. Not a runaway train, but a runaway horse.
This is why they invented ABS brakes. But go ahead. What happened to the horse?
Hold on.
Schaffensberger jump on and
No, it's Hermsdorfer. According to the sheriff's office, there were open bottles of alcohol in addition to the 12-pack of Michelob Ultra.
Oh, these guys were hammered.
They were. Nobody has come forward to claim their belongings, including the horse and buggy.
Wait a minute. Yes. So now they have the horse. They have the buggy.
Right.
The guys got away.
Yes.
And they confiscate the horse and buggy.
That's correct.
Could you imagine going down to like the police evidence room and there's like a horse in there?
And a buggy? How old is this evidence, horse and buggy?
Could you go to the auction and be like, yeah, we got ourselves a really nice horse and buggy. Do I hear $10?
And sold to the man in blue and a case of Michelob Ultra.
Sold to the man with the black suit and black hat on with the Michelob bottle.
One of the most useful inventions that we've all used is petroleum jelly around the house. As Nick and Roy discover, there are many applications for it.
Robert Cheeseborough invented petroleum jelly. Petroleum jelly, which a lot of people are very fond of. What they do with it, we won't be discussing until later in another show. But
you put it on your lips to keep your lips moist.
Yes, it works great as a lip balm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it also works great as a butt balm.
Depends where you put your lips. Yes.
If you're an ass kiss, it works great.
Yeah, petroleum jelly, the favorite the number one petroleum jelly for ass kissers.
Recommended okay. by ass kissers around the world.
Let's check in to see what number 7 is on our countdown to the best news headline from around the world.
Mayday, mayday. A flight from Washington, D.C. to Dallas had to make an emergency landing after passengers noticed a burning smell coming from inside the cabin.
Jeez, what was that? Was it the stewardess came down and said, would you like the beef or the fish? Today's fish is slippery dicks.
You mean flight attendant, right? Not stewardess. Stewardess is 1947.
I still call them stewardess.
The flight landed in Nashville where the authorities were called. The source of the burning smell was found by bomb-sniffing dogs. Not bump-sniffing dogs. Bomb-sniffing dogs. Burnt matches were found at a female passenger's seat. After a lengthy questioning by the FBI, the woman admitted to lighting the matches on the flight. Well, you see, she laid a rather pungent fart. To mask the smell, she lit matches. That didn't work because the smell was so persistent that the peculiar smell was a combination of the fart smell and the matches.
Oh, so maybe she sharted herself.
Yes.
And there was a residue and it just kept going. Who know? I tell you, when I get in a plane, I think about that all the time. And I think that's why planes have seats with stripes on them, so you can't tell. When the plane touches down, it goes, you know, like that, leaves a little skid mark. Well, so do some people. This woman sharted herself in the plane. The people were probably happy to land in Nashville. They were like, and Nashville, home of the smoked products.
That's so true. That's right.
And this woman sharting probably all the way. The FBI's not too bright either, because this woman's walking off the plane and the scent is going with her.
That's right.
It's a she's walking off the plane.
It was a lingerer.
You had it, no.
Now, but hold on. Now, please, come on. Don't be so cruel. She claimed she had a medical condition that causes her to produce these smells. According to a spokesperson for the Nashville airport, there were no charges laid as there wasn't any malice intended.
Well, there were farts laid.
Yeah, but no malice was laid, just the farts. When the plane was deemed safe, because they checked it all out, the flight resumed to its original destination, Dallas. The woman, however, was not allowed back on the plane.
Of course not. She's volatile.
You're listening to Nick and Roy's Bloopers and Best of 2021. Number 6 in our News from Around the World countdown is the banana thrower.
A man in Florida is accused of shooting another man who threw part of a banana at his truck during a road rage incident, according to police. Robert Lewis...
He shot the guy. Say it one more time.
A man is accused of shooting another man who threw part of a banana at his truck during a road rage incident, according to police. Robert Lewis and Peter Salo Jr. allegedly got into an argument while driving down U.S. Highway 19. Following the argument, Sala Jr. reportedly drove past Lewis and threw the banana at the side of Lewis's truck.
Did he have two ping pong balls attached to it?
Did he have what?
Two ping pong balls attached to it. That would have been highly insulting.
That's
been
right.
Like, yeah, take this at 100 miles an hour.
So Lewis was sitting in his truck, was allegedly armed with a handgun, shot at Sala Jr.
Was the banana peeled or was it whole? Was it frozen? I don't know.
What I don't understand is it's allegedly armed with a handgun. Well, what did he shoot him with if he shot at him?
Maybe the banana. He grabbed the banana.
That's right. And a banana split.
Don't you point that load of banana at me.
That's right. So the bullet shattered the right front passenger window. Sala Jr. suffered a small non-life-threatening laceration to his leg. It was not from the bullet, from a piece of glass fragment
from the banana.
That struck him. No, not the banana.
He had a laceration on the side of his buttocks from the banana.
That's right. Laceration on his leg from the broken glass.
Now, that would piss me off if a guy pulled a banana out of his buttocks and threw it at me. I wouldn't stand for that. I'd shoot him, too.
Lewis was arrested and is facing charges for shooting a... This is what he was arrested for. He was charged with shooting a deadly missile into.
You let me tell you something. I eat beans. I don't even need to throw it. I just be like.
Yeah. He was charged with shooting a deadly missile into an occupied vehicle and criminal mischief.
Is this the guy with the gun or the banana? Which Lewis, one was charged?
Lewis. Hold on.
Guy Lewis, with the gun, right?
Right. That's right. Yeah. That's right, because he shot.
They said the guy with the banana was probably charged for releasing deadly shrapnel, banana shrapnel.
Yeah, that was the problem. Lewis was arrested, facing charges. He is booked into the Pinellas County Jail on a $12,000.
Pinellas County sounds about right.
That's right. Hello, people who are listening in Florida for the time being. He was held on a $12,000 bond. And according to
12 grand. Look, folks, let me explain something to you. Florida is the most great. It's the most amazing place in the world.
That's where Roy lives. Yes.
People come here from all over the place. They come here from New York. Okay.
Right.
Our news program is like, welcome to the evening news. Today, a man was arrested for allegedly dropping a bubble gum wrapper on the street. Okay, in New York, it's like, welcome to the evening news. 84 people were murdered in the streets today.
Yes.
Fighting over. News is ridiculous. Man throws banana.
Yes. Right. But according to court document, he's going to appeal it.
The number five headline in our news from around the world is the bull semen thieves. Come again?
Thieves.
Oh, no.
Thieves. Thieves targeted a farm in southeast Minnesota that contained an unusual and surprisingly valuable item, bull semen.
What?
The Austin Daily Herald reports that a canister containing $70,000 worth of bull semen was stolen.
Bull, this is bull's semen.
No bull. Yes, bull semen.
Come on.
It was $70,000 worth was stolen from a barn near Leroy on the border with Iowa.
How much semen is $70,000 worth?
I don't know. They weren't in the Navy.
Nick, is this bull?
No, it's not. Mower County Sheriff Therese Amazi told the newspaper the canister was taken from the farmer's unlocked barn. Well, there you go. Like, you have that much valuable bull semen. Why would you leave the barn door unlocked?
Who keeps semen unlocked? I mean, if you're going to save your semen, you might as well lock it up, right? I mean, it's got to be worth something.
And they think it possibly took place between 11 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. on an Easter Sunday when nobody was on the property.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
So they did it on a holy day.
That's correct.
Between when?
11 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. If you...
How did they narrow this down to like a time? Is that when people go stealing bull semen? Is
I
it
don't
like,
know.
I better get up because I got to go out and steal some bull semen.
Now, this is an unusual but not unique crime. The Washington Post reported in 2005 that $75,000 worth of bull semen was stolen from a farm in Maryland, explaining that the difficulty in procuring and storing bull semen, coupled with the animal's sometimes reluctance to breed, leads to high premium on the
goods. Because bulls are not really sexy animals or aramis at that even.
No.
So I guess to get them excited and stuff, I don't know what you'd have to do. I mean, stick a couple of horns on Heidi Klum. I mean, I don't know what you do.
Now, police have no suspects at this stage, and the case has been handed over to investigators.
You got to hand it to them. They're going to get more bull semen.
So basically,
do they have to take a sample of the bull semen to figure out?
That's right.
Hold on a minute. I got to get a sample.
That's right. So they asked a couple of bulls here. They show them a copy of Playboy, and then they wanted to check the sample.
They showed them a copy of Play Cow. What are you talking about? The one cop said to the other cop, hey, stop being a jerk.
Wow, look at
what are you talking about? I'm trying to get a sample.
Play cow. Look at the udders on that one. Police suspects. Yes.
But anyway.
So apparently, according to police, the thieves came and went.
The number four headline is Wrap It Up.
An Idaho man recaptured a Guinness World Record by
actually men in Idaho, but go ahead.
Yes. They're disguised as potatoes. Mr. Potato Head. An Idaho man, a.k.a. Mr. Potato Head, recaptured a Guinness World Record by covering his wife's body in plastic wrap. in 1 minute and 2.44 seconds.
Jesus, must maybe a big woman.
David, well, he wanted to keep her fresh.
So he covered her in how much plastic wrap?
Hold on. Let's see here. David Brush is his name. He has broken more than 150 records to promote STEM education. Originally set in 2019, he covered his wife in 1 minute and 57 seconds.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he write the date on her with a Sharpie mark and put her in the freezer? He's like, she's been good in there for 6 months. I'm telling you, all I have to do is throw her out and she's perfect.
Right, right next to the chicken nuggets. Russ said it took 9 rolls. Now, this is the answer to your question. It took 9 rolls of plastic wrap to practice for their latest attempt. So it's not that he did it once. He kept practicing and practicing.
He practiced. And this woman was probably asphyxiated by the time they got her. She's a little bit, don't worry, she's a little bit stiff, but she'll wrap just perfect.
His original record in 2019 was 1 minute and 57 seconds. They refined their technique and got it down to 1 minute and 2.44 seconds.
1 minute and 2.44 seconds. The reason was, while he was practicing, he said, you know what? Something's missing. And the guy said, yeah, rap music.
That's right. He was listening to rap music as he rapped his. Wow. Boom, 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 boom.
I said, hotel, motel, wrap her up again.
Did you know that there is a place in the world called nowhere? Well, Nick and Roy found it.
The most remote place on Earth is Point Nemo. Officially called the Oceanic Pole of Inaccessibility, Point Nemo is 1,000 miles from any land in any direction.
Point Nemo.
Point Nemo. Literally, Point Nemo is in the middle of nowhere. Like, literally, in the middle of nowhere. By the way...
Well, it's got to be in the middle of somewhere. It's in Point Nemo.
Right, no. Point Nemo is in the middle of nowhere. I mean, Point Nemo is somewhere, but it's the middle of nowhere.
But being that they called it Point Nemo, it's no longer nowhere.
But no...
Nowhere is a place that's nowhere. I'd like to call it, like, a place nowhere. Where are you going? Nowhere.
Nowhere. Really? No, I'm asking you, where are you
actually
going?
Actually, I'd like to open a bar called Nowhere. This way the wife goes, yeah. Where are you going? Nowhere.
Nowhere.
Okay.
Yeah. And when he gets there in a hurry, he's going nowhere fast. Anyway, so by the way, Nemo in Latin means no one.
Ah.
So that Disney movie, Finding Nemo, finding no one.
If Nemo went to Point Nemo.
Right.
He would be no one going nowhere.
Right. And that's something. Yeah, we went there.
We will get to the top 3 news headlines in just a moment. But first, it's obvious that Nick and Roy may still be stuck in the 4th grade.
The stamen, which is the penis type portion coming out of the, like a lily. You ever see a lily has like a, looks like a little peepee coming out of it?
Is that the
scientific stuff here?
Is this the botanical version of? Is that the botanical name for the peepee?
Yes, the old peepee.
Isn't that what you did a lot of in high school?
What? No. I was known to have my peepee brushed, but
no, brushed and polished. Okay, decorum in 3, 2.
Too late.
Here we go. The top 3 headlines from news from around the world. Number 3. The neighborhood pooper.
A small town jogger is in deep doo-doo after being accused in a serial public defecation case, according to police in Fishers, Indiana.
No, you mean he was dumping while running?
Authorities have said they've cracked the case of a woman who was pooping on neighborhood lawns during her early morning jogs throughout town.
Not even in the woods.
Nope.
Out in public, dropping a deposit.
Neighborhood lawns. Several residents recently shared their stories about their serial pooper with the local broadcaster. They call her the pooper. We have lots of names for her, says Angie Kiley. Last week or the week before, she did it in 3 or 4 different yards down the street.
Wait a minute. She's got a lot of poop.
Right. Every other yard.
4 different yards. I mean, did she do like Like one log per yard?
I don't know. It didn't. They didn't measure it.
Did they? Right. That's another thing I need to know. I mean, was it a pile or was it a single poop?
Kylie added that the deuce dropping delinquent
always dropping.
That might answer your question.
The run dumpster.
Deuce dropping delinquent. Wait a minute, I lost my place here. Hang on. Wait a minute. What are you doing? Get off my lawn. What was it? The Clint Eastwood movie? Get off my lawn. Yeah. So the deuce dropping delinquent always comes prepared to clean herself up.
No.
Yes.
She
leaves behind her discarded toilet paper behind her.
Could you imagine her running though, and she has like the roll attached to something beside her, and like, you know, it's perfectly set up too, where it rolls from the top.
That's right. She does roll the toilet paper properly, which, by the way, is from the top. Police did not lay any charges against the woman, though they say she could still face them in the future if she does.
Of course they didn't. Would you want to bring her in, put her in the car?
No.
And then, boom, there's just paper bag there and a whole load of crap.
She'll be revisiting the police station if she doesn't get her crap together.
Wow. She was like, well, I'm just getting myself ready for the marathon running the Hershey Highway.
Number two. The statue penis thief.
A town in southwest France has come up with a solution to stop thieves pinching the penis of the statue in the park.
Yeah, penis pinchers?
Yes. They lifted them. Like they removed
just
them.
Just statues, or do they pinch other people's penises?
No, just the statue. The seaside
like, is
town.
Is this like a problem there? Because I may go to France and I don't want to go walking through the park and have my penis pinched.
It's been a long running problem. There are 3 meters.
I don't know if my pee-pee was brushed in the last episode.
That's right. There are 3 meter statue of Greek mythology's divine hero Hercules.
3 meters? How long is that?
No. 3 meters. What's the 9 feet?
There's a 9 foot penis hanging off the statue?
No. It's the statue of Hercules is 9 feet. The statue's 9 feet.
Oh, he's got a 9 foot
That's
penis.
Right. This statue was.
I would imagine that.
The statue of this divine hero Hercules was erected in 1948.
That's the problem. They erected it and it went to 9 feet. It was probably 9 inches when it started.
It keeps getting his penis removed by vandals. It's only now that this is the systemic issue, in words of the mayor.
But Nick, I'm so confused. Was it originally a screw-off penis, or did they just lop the concrete off?
Sure. There's no information here in this story, but the mayor says that they found a solution. I wouldn't want anyone, not even my worst enemies, the mayor said, to go through what happens to this statue.
No.
So they've come up with the idea of a removable prosthetic that can be attached to the main body for special ceremonies in the park.
So when ceremonies happen, they screw the new penis in?
That's right. The new dimensions, by the way, of the prosthetic penis remains
on... New dimensions? It sounds like neuter.
Yeah, Bob Barker. The new dimensions of the prosthetic penis remains unknown because they don't want to give out too much information.
Yeah, well, they'll probably gratify Hercules now. I would like to know how big the original penis was. Not that I'm interested in the size of the penis. I just want to know how big of a penis these people like to pinch. Because if I go to France and I'm walking through the park, they may look and say, there's a penis to pinch.
Right. Instead of being a penny pincher, a penis pincher.
There's a lot of them there, Nick.
There are. So according to the local paper, they've reached
out. Now I get it. I'm sorry to interrupt you again.
Yeah.
But you walk through the park and they say, do you speak French? And I say, oui, oui. And they go, pee, pee.
That's exactly what happens.
And now for the number one news headline from around the world for 2021. Call her Eileen.
A Columbus one-legged woman is facing felony charges after police say she kicked an officer while being arrested in a Dublin bar, okay? The one-legged woman was arrested and charged with kicking an officer. It started before 8:30 p.m. on May the 5th at Urban Meyer's Pint House in Dublin's Bridge Park development. The bar manager called police to report that she was very intoxicated and she refused to leave. When the police arrived, the manager told officers that he had been asking the woman to leave for over an hour, actually. and that he was willing to press charges for criminal trespassing. She just wouldn't go. Police identified the one-legged woman as 35-year-old Patricia Callahan. We'll just call her Eileen.
Eileen Callahan.
Callahan. Eileen Callahan refused to leave
the bar.
She got
to the bar. She got to the bar early so she could get a leg up on everyone else.
And oddly enough, her boyfriend's name is Neil. So, she refused to leave the bar because she insisted she did nothing wrong. So she quickly points out that she only has one leg, as if the officer couldn't notice it, right? So while taking Callahan into custody, an officer asked if there was anything in her pocket that would stick or hurt them. She goes, yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Yes? In her pocket.
In her pocket, yes.
You said pockets.
In her pocket.
In her case, it's pocket.
It's just one pocket. Yeah, one with the one leg. Okay. She goes, quote, yes, I have five things, and I got one leg that will poke you. She responded. Ooh. Yes.
The old poker.
Apparently referring to her prosthetic leg. While at the
I think she would do much better in a waltz. It's a little slower than a poker, but go ahead.
While at the jail, police say Callahan initially refused to get out of the cruiser. After she eventually got out, officers escorted her up the steps towards the jail's door. As we walked up the steps towards the door, Miss Callahan swiftly...
Did they escort her up the steps, or did they drag her up the steps?
They escorted her up the steps. That's right. And she wasn't
drag.
Too... And she
drag her up the steps. She wasn't kicking and screaming. She was kick and screaming.
Right. It's just one leg. Yeah, she wasn't too hoppy. She tried to make a run for it. Didn't get too far. Eileen Callahan, we'll call her Eileen, although her name is Patricia, but Eileen Callahan was charged with misdemeanor counts of resisting arrest, obstructing official business, and disorderly conduct.
Thank you for joining us as we look back at 2021. To listen to the complete library of totally useless information, visit nickandroy.com. Starting next week, Nick and Roy will continue with totally useless information. There is more exciting stuff coming your way, including more special guests, new topics, and more useless fun. From all of us at Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy, stay safe and have a healthy new year.